Welcome to Ed Show number 110.
Binary.
There we go. Today we have a few live events that are coming up that we wanted to make sure you know about first. So just don't leave just right yet, because the first one we have here is around the Cloud Day Q&A with Mark Rusinovich. Many of you know him. And he is doing a little bit about Azure and then lots of live Q&A about all things Azure. We have a number of Azure experts as well that will be joining him. So tune in for that hour and a half.
And that's July 14th,
right? Absolutely.
A couple days after that, we have another one of our jump starts, which is the live event with a Q&A. This one is on the Windows Azure Pack. And so the Windows Azure Pack is a Azure-like self-service portal that runs in your data center. We're going to be focusing on the infrastructure as a service capabilities, looking at creating virtual machines, SQL databases, plans, clouds, and basically that end-to-end management of your Windows Azure Pack infrastructure. We're going to be doing that as 2 half days running in the morning in Pacific time. So hopefully that's better for our global audience as well. And so that's going to be on the 16th and 17th of July. The following,
and that has you, of course.
That does.
It.
I will be hosting that one as well.
I'll plug you. I mean, instead of you plugging yourself. So there we go.
The following week, one of our evangelists out of Australia, Andrew McMurray, is going to be hosting a half-day event where he's going to be talking about migration. So as you guys probably know, next summer, next July, is end of life for Windows Server 2003. And so he's going to be looking at basically two separate parts to the upgrade. Not only do you, how do you upgrade your operating system from 2003 to the latest version, but also best practices for upgrading those enterprise applications running in it as well. So stay tuned on July 24th, and we'll include the links at the bottom of this page.
Yeah, and that's really good too, right? If you want to know about not just 2003 to 2012, but also 2012 R2 to Microsoft Azure. So you kind of migrate
it's
platforms
a great
as well.
Point. We're
so
even going a little further
go
in that one, all the way
going.
To Azure too.
There you go. All right, well, we are focused, of course, today on DevOps. And I wanted to highlight quite a few of the announcements we have from our OpenTech team. There is a good post here from one of the leaders there, Jean Apali. And he has a post about a lot of the different things that have happened since his 2 years that he's been here, namely like the expansion to China. We have a new OpenTech team in China and quite a lot of other things that is far beyond the scope that we have to the ability to cover today. That being said, I do want to cover a handful of things here that are around announcements of integration of open source technologies to Microsoft. The first one is using Gradle, the open source product. That is going to enable you to have build automations connected up to Team Foundation Server. So we have a build template now, and if you want to do that type of integration, if you've got an existing investments in Gradle, then that is one option. And then we also have one other tool that we have recently announced integration with Team Foundation Server, and that is Grunt. We got the two G's covered. Grunt and Gradle, right? And Grunt has a plugin, and that's really for helping a JavaScript task automation service for doing all kinds of different things, but we have that documented now on how you might integrate with that.
Great. Well, we have another open source announcement, and this one comes from Docker. So Docker is a relatively new technology that allows you to basically do virtualization of applications, but it really simplifies things by removing a lot of the underlying dependencies. Now, we've just announced support of Docker as a host on Windows Azure. And so what that means is, using Azure Virtual Machine extensions, you can now configure an Azure Virtual Machine to be a Docker host. And from that point, you could go and run all of your little Docker containers on top of that. So this is a nice enhancement for all of those that are really trying to ramp up and get ready to use Docker as one of these new up-and-coming open source technologies.
Mm-hmm. All right, we also have the Puppet module updates to deploy resources from native Puppet commandlets into Microsoft Azure. And we are not going to be covering those today in the interview. However, we will be covering Puppet on Microsoft Azure in general here.
So what is coming up next in the interview?
We are going to be talking about Puppet and how it works on top of Microsoft Azure. So Gallery, the client agent, how those two work together. So you get a little better feel of how you might utilize Puppet in an Azure environment.
Great, let's take a look.
Welcome, continuing on with the Edge Show, and welcome back, Ross.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So if you didn't watch the previous episode, we had Ross talking about Chef integration to Microsoft Azure. And, you know, today we're having him back here, and we're hoping that we can bounce things out a little bit with Chef's kind of somewhat competitor there, right, in the Puppet Labs. So, you know, we would love to talk about Puppet Labs and how, you know, how Microsoft Azure works well with that. What is Puppet, though? What is that all about?
So Puppet, it's very similar to Chef, works in slightly different ways, but it's a configuration management tool. So you provide text files that describe how your system is going to work, all the various machines in your nodes, in your network, and it configures them, installs software, makes sure permissions are correct, etc. Very much like Chef does, and we're going to look at how we can do that on Azure.
Cool. Yeah, well, let's dive right in and see what kind of new announcements we have around there that we haven't covered since last time we talked about Chef.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Right? Like the integration we have with the Gallery VM images.
Right, and that's what we're going to look at today.
Let's see it.
Should we get started with
Yeah, let's get started straight away.
So we need to go into a browser to start off with, and I'm going to go to the Azure portal. So I'm guessing that people watching this show have seen the portal a number of times before. This is just the normal Azure portal.
Right. Yep.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do two things. Firstly, I'm going to start up what's called a Puppet Master. Mm-hmm. And that is, as the name suggests, it's the master. It's where all the control information is.
Yep.
And then I'm going to start up a Windows node. So we'll start with the Puppet Master. We click on New down in the bottom corner here. We click on Virtual Machine. Yes, thank you. From Gallery. And the little wizard comes up and we get to choose an image. Down here on the left-hand side, we have Puppet Labs. And if we click on that, we will get Puppet Enterprise 3.2.3.
Cool.
So Puppet Enterprise is the commercial version of Puppet itself. There is Puppet, which is open source, which has some very, very similar features, etc. This is Puppet Enterprise, and we can start up an image straight from the gallery.
Yeah.
So we give it a virtual machine name. Now, I'm going to go through each of these steps because it takes a short while to deploy. Yeah. So we need to create the virtual machine. So we give it a name. Mm-hmm. And the name needs to be something unique. So we'll try RG Puppet. That seems to be unique. Okay. Those settings at the top we'll leave as default. We'll leave the new username as Azure. You can Azure user, you can of course change that. I'm not going to do an SSH key, just of course in
For
production
speed,
you would.
Yeah. Of course.
You give it a password. Actually, give it one I can remember. And it has to be quite a complicated password. It checks those as you're entering. On the next page, we'll leave it as create a cloud service automatically. You can change the DMS name if you need to. In this case, we don't need to because it says it's available. Choose the region that you want. And there's a few endpoints that you need to make available. I'll show you those in a minute, but
just
in the interest of time, we would add them there.
Just like any good cooking show.
Absolutely.
You've already got us a Gallery VM image ready to go.
We have, and we'll show you the endpoints in a moment so you know what
go.
They are. And then you simply click on the next phase and click on the tick in the final one, and off it goes and starts deploying the image. Now that's the master. Okay, so what that will do is it'll fire up the image for you. Mm-hmm. It'll install all the necessary software on there, and it'll start the appropriate processes. Mm-hmm. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes for the image to first come up, and then another 3 to 5 minutes for the configuration to start.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's done, you can go on to the next stage. But before we go to the next stage, we need to create a node that the master is going to control.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And you can have as many nodes as you want. We'll just create one.
Sure.
Very, very similar process. You click on New. And you want a virtual machine from Gallery again. Now, that last machine we created was a Linux virtual machine.
Yep.
Didn't have a choice in it because that's all it runs on. This time we can have Linux or Windows.
Uh-huh.
Puppet can manage either of those. So we're just going to click on server 2012
R2.
And then we go through the same process again. Sorry, my mouse is jumping around a little.
It's a live demo.
Yeah. And same thing again, we need to give it the basic information. And we'll give it a username and a password. Okay, that says that's okay. And it's on the final screen of this section. Each time I click on the up, am I zoomed in a little? Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, what is going on?
Is it clicking, left clicking?
Seems to be right clicking, yes. There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Editor can edit that one out.
Yeah. No need to add extra endpoints in this case. Okay, so we'll just go on to the next thing, leave everything as defaults there. You can, of course, change them. This is where it changes. So far it's been the same as creating any virtual machine mm-hmm. image. Now we want to say we need the Puppet Enterprise Agent, which is this checkbox here.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's the new stuff that we announced at Build. So
that's
now
right.
The agent's just going to automatically just get installed once you deploy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you need to give it the name of your Puppet Master. So we called it RG Puppet. So it would be rgpuppet.cloudapp.net.
Okay. So you give it the public URL.
So the public URL, exactly. Okay. And then you click the tick and it will go away. It'll create that virtual machine and then it'll install the agent on it. And once the agent is up, it'll send a message to the Puppet Master, which you've identified on this screen, and say, hey, I want you to control me. And you need to give permissions for that, which you do through the web interface.
So is that going to communicate over the public IP, the VIP for the cloud service, or is there a way to also make the agent talk to it on, let's say, a virtual VNet?
You can create it on a VNet if you want to, yes.
Okay. In which case you could use just the whatever it resolves for DNS internally.
I have never actually tested it.
But theoretically, it should work.
In theory, yes. If anyone tests it, I'd love to know whether it works or not.
Okay, well, there you go. Call to our audience. VNets with Puppet Agent Master. Let's hear it. Anyway, comment below.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we'll close that down because, as you said, I'd already got some machines set up. So we'll take a very quick look at the endpoints that I promised to have a look at. So down the bottom here is RG Puppet Master and RG Puppet Win, which is my node.
Okay.
We'll take a quick look at Puppet Master so that you see on the screen which endpoints you need to open up because mm-hmm. I skipped over that step.
Sure.
So there's three endpoints that you need to open up. The first one is HTTPS. That's a standard endpoint. Nothing different there. MC Collective is part of the the Puppet Master system that enables you to configure mm-hmm. things. And then Puppet is the actual Puppet Enterprise application itself. And the port numbers are 61613 and 8140. All the documentation for this is on the Puppet mm-hmm. site. So that's puppetlabs.com, and they've got great introductory materials on how to do all this and screenshots and etc.
So these are these the 61613 and the 8140, are those standards defined by Puppet?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So they'll be what's open on every Puppet Master that you create.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
So once we've done that, we can then go and log into our Puppet Master. So this is the one that I'd started up earlier. Now you will always get this message because it's a self-signed certificate.
Right.
Okay. So as long as you know that's the machine you created, then you're okay to continue in this instance.
And if you're running it in production, you could, you know, add your own cert to the cloud service and put that all in there.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So we'll go through to there, and the username is always admin@, and then the domain name that you've used.
Okay.
The hard part is how you get the password.
Okay.
And we're not going to go into it now because it involves RDP and et cetera,
but
it's in the documentation I mentioned earlier,
sure.
and we'll put links up for that. Okay, so this is what the Enterprise Console looks like. We're not going to go into details about this. We don't want to spend a lot of time, but you see over on the left there, we've got two unchanged nodes. One of those is the master that we have, and the other one is the node.
Yeah, so this is realistically what you would see after you just went through those steps. You just deployed an agent on. It's now communicating, but nothing's really been done.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to do some configuration on that. So what we need to do is we need to SSH into our Linux box, which is the Puppet Master.
Okay.
So we will just standard SSH client. In this case, I'm using Putty.
Everyone's favorite SSH tool.
And I've got to remember my password, which, as I said, it forces you to have a complicated password. There we go. So we're now logged in. Okay.
Now this password is different than the one that's for Puppet, or is it the same?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so this
two
is the VM password and then the Puppet Enterprise password.
Yes, so this is the one we entered into that UI.
Okay.
The Puppet password is automatically generated by the install process, which is why you have to go in, find a file, and read it off the machine.
I gotcha.
Okay. But yeah, this is the one we entered. If we'd entered an SSH key, we wouldn't have even asked for a password.
Right, it would just use the key to pull it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we'll go to everyone's favorite editor.
next. And of course, you can see all of that text on the screen.
Yeah, let's make that a bit bigger.
So now we do magic editor chop. Ah, now it's bigger. There we go.
Okay. So all the configuration files are in except I'm in root. I need to be in root. So all the configuration files are in this directory here, etc. Puppet Labs Puppet. And the one we want to work with is two files we want to work with. The first one is in manifests. And you have this site.pp. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is where your whole network is the beginnings of where your whole network is defined. And right down at the bottom of here, we have this section which I've commented out, and it wouldn't normally be there. I'd type it in, but it has a big long machine name there, and I didn't trust myself to remember it, so
there
I commented it out.
Hey,
okay,
great.
You get that from the console. You get the big long name that you need from the console.
Okay.
So we'll save that. And what this is doing is it's saying include Windows. So it's including the definition called Windows. And what we need to do is create a module called Windows. So we go to the modules directory. We create a directory called Windows. Inside of there, we create a directory called manifests, which is where the descriptions of configurations come from. And inside of there, we'll create an init.pp, which is the one that's automatically loaded. We don't have to give it instructions where to find it.
So to provide some context around this, that init is going to then initialize,
That's correct.
The agent, the Windows agent.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And inside here, we'll say class Windows. Remember we did import Windows?
Okay.
So class Windows. And we're just going to do something really simple here. We're going to define a resource. Puppet works with resources.
Sure.
One resource is file.
Sure, yeah.
We're going to define a resource called C hello text. And we're going to say, I want the contents of that file to be hello world in the best of traditions. And then if I've got my syntax right, I've now defined a configuration for a Windows machine. Could be a Linux machine.
Now this could we put in like PowerShell scripts or DSC?
There is a module that enables you to use PowerShell and DSC. Yes,
you there could. There you go. So so that would be where you'd define it. Okay.
Okay, so once we've done that, we now need to wait until the node asks the agent, the master, what am I supposed to look like? Mm-hmm. And that takes about 30 minutes. It runs every 30 minutes. So we don't want to stand here waiting for 30 minutes. So what we will do is we'll quickly go back to the portal, and we will RDP into this particular machine, the Puppet Master. Mm-hmm. So you do that by clicking on, sorry, not Puppet Master, the one we're trying to control, Puppet Win.
The agent, yeah, we want the agent to refresh
correct.
Manually here. Yeah. So
we're going to RDP into there, open the little the file that comes down for us, give it our password, and this is the password we entered in the UI.
In the UX, yeah.
In the UX, yeah. And that takes a few moments to log in. So now's a good time to talk about the forge whilst that's
Yeah. So I mean the files thing, right? I mean that's a really good example just so people know what goes on. But I'd imagine that there's a pretty large community right around different kinds of manifests that help configure Windows or Linux machines. Yeah?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's what the forge is. So forge.puppetlabs.com. Mm-hmm. This morning there was over 2,600 different modules in there. So we wrote a very simple module that put a hello world text thing. Mm-hmm. People write and share code and modules for very complex things. Mm-hmm. Things like managing IIS, for example.
Right.
And some of them are really full featured. Mm-hmm. There is, as you say, a large community of people who are working to share that code, improve on each other's implementations, etc.
Yep.
And we actually have a plugin for Visual Studio, which makes that really easy for Visual Studio users.
Okay.
There's a demo of that on the MS OpenSec site if people are interested.
Okay, cool.
So
now we're logged in. We're logged into our Puppet agent.
Yep. So this is the Windows machine. This is the one we created the agent. And we're just going to run a command called Puppet agent. And we're going to put the test switch in there. And the reason we put the test switch in there is because if we didn't have that there, it would become a daemon, and would run in the background periodically. We don't want to do that. We want to force a run now by testing it. So we do a Puppet Agent test. And what this is doing now is it's connecting to the master and saying, hey, what should I look like? The master looks at all the manifests that are applicable to that machine and says, okay, here's your catalog. This is what you should look like. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is what's happening here. We're getting the information back from the master at the moment. The machine then says, okay, fine. This is what I'm supposed to look like. This is what I actually look like. Mm-hmm. What are the differences? And then it fixes things. So if I quickly move over here, I should have pointed out before, there is no Hello World text file. And if you were watching carefully, it appeared as I was talking.
Just rewind it for a couple seconds, go back, boom, the hello file, there it is.
Exactly. And if I was to delete that file now and run the test again, you can probably predict what would happen.
I'm going to guess that in 7 seconds, roughly, that I'm going to have a hello file on the left-hand side. Yeah, how about that? So one other thing you were mentioning is how does it know which machine applies? Is that on policies? Is it because of the Windows class? How does the Puppet Enterprise server know which manifest to apply to the client?
So that first file we looked at, the site.pp file, that had different definitions for different machines. So there are two ways you can do it. You can do it on a per machine basis, which is what we did here. Mm-hmm. But actually in production, you're likely out to multiple machines that all need to look the same. Yep. And so you can group machines into logical groupings and say, okay, apply these manifests in this way to this group of machines. Mm-hmm. So you've got any level of granularity that you need. And you can define those groupings through command lines, through the Azure port, through the Puppet Enterprise console, etc.
Kind of a next, more advanced topic beyond this demo here.
Absolutely.
But just gives people a little nugget of wisdom.
Building a real world application in 10 minutes is not so easy.
That's right, yeah.
But we do have a hello text.
Okay, there we go. So that is pretty awesome.
Woo,
give the applause, yeah. So, okay, so this is very cool. So I think just maybe on the last point to end on here, is the fact that we have a Puppet Forge module. So can you maybe talk briefly on what some of the things
I think
can
you
do?
Mentioned it in the news.
I mentioned
in
the news briefly, but I thought maybe you could touch on a little more.
So we've created a module which you can install into any system like this and use it to manage resources on Azure. So you can do things like fire up virtual machines, you can configure those virtual machines, you can add roles to them, add disks to them, set up your virtual networks, a SQL server can be managed through that. What else we got? Services.
So it'd probably be really good then for a person who wants to deploy everything and use everything inside of the Puppet native comfort of their home kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it'll work on-premise, off-premise, as most of our stuff will here.
Okay.
So you can use it in a test environment and then move it to the cloud or say, well, we want these components to move to the cloud, et cetera.
Okay.
It gives you maximum flexibility using tools like Puppet along with the modules that we've created for it.
Cool. Very cool stuff. All right. Thank you so much, Ross.
All right.
Till next time, hopefully.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks. All right, thanks for watching The Edge Show. Definitely stay in touch with us. If you want to, you can check out the Twitters, at TNEdge, or...
just post to our site.
There you go.
Lots of different ways to get in contact with us. We want to hear your feedback so we can add new content and keep improving our show. We'll see you next week.